Good morning. I'm Edward Marlowe, host of the For Those Who Inquired podcast. And you know what time it is.
Hey, I noticed you had another guest last week, finally.
I did, actually. I wanted to go ahead and test out that. Neil Bradley here with me studio at WNBS, 1340 AM in Murray, Kentucky. Yeah, I had Jay Nimmo, Marshall County state champion, defending state champion for boys golf. He had been an avid listener, I guess, prior, you know, just to you and I. And, you know, I had stated a couple of months ago, which is crazy. We've been back now for about 8 weeks now.
Yeah.
And this is actually episode 7 between you and I. Yeah, Jay had mentioned that he was very interested in being on the show. I told him that I was interested in having guests, but it would just have to be when I could squeeze in some time. Obviously, this podcast is not affiliated with the Paducah Sun, but I have obligations, just like you do.
Yeah, that's right.
So Jay and I were able to, I'll tell you how it's all going to work. And I think in the future, if anybody else is listening, the way that I'll do podcasting, you know, outside of these types of episodes with you and I is I've got a Google Voice account, and it makes sense. You can just call me. I've got a phone number, and I'll record it to my computer, and we'll be good to go. So it's not nearly as amazing quality as this studio that you have, Neil, but, you know, through trial and error, I hope it gets better. Jay was a great guest. We talked about a lot of different things. It's kind of a timeless podcast. You can listen to it before, you know, the rest of the season ends or even after. He talked a little bit about, you know, him being a dual sport athlete, talked about, you know, what it means for him to be a champion golfer, why he even got into golf in the first place, why he chose Mississippi State as his college of choice. Uh-huh. We talked about Colin Brown and their relationship and how unique and special it was and how competitive it was in those final years. And, yeah, just we had a really good time in about 40 minutes, and love for you guys to listen to it.
Yeah, he, I think his mom tweeted that he has the gift of gab, so that was her compliment, that he also does well at talking. I went to school with his dad.
Okay.
He was a year or two ahead of me.
Yeah. So they're both really good golfers. Yeah. I mean, I've seen their golf scores.
Good folks.
Yeah, I've seen their golf scores, you know, from old tournaments and things like that all throughout the Paducah Sun's archives. And Jay, you know, being an only child, kind of as it was easy for him to get around the game and, you know, with his mom and dad being wrapped up in it. And, you know, and he had, you know, plastic clubs by the age of 4 and 5, like all the rest of us do, except, you know, he kind of took it seriously.
Yeah.
So
I never got plastic golf clubs. I had a plastic hockey club.
I had plastic
taken away from me after I hit my cousin in the head with it because she stole my truck.
There you go. You nice.
Know, I was 6 and didn't get it back.
What kind of truck, though? Was it like a Tonka truck?
It was my favorite truck, but it was one where you rolled it. The windshield wipers moved. Get your hands off of it. Don't grab it. She grabbed it. So I clonked her. And was found that was frowned upon in the household.
Yeah, yeah, and then you were never allowed.
And thankfully, it was plastic; it wasn't metal. So, you know, I remember she cried. Other than that, she was not injured.
Yeah.
Thankfully, that was good.
And that's funny.
We still laugh about it, about me clonking her. I don't think she remembers it, but I know I remember.
That's a good memory.
Yeah.
Does she not remember it because you hit her too hard?
Maybe that. it very well could be that.
That's
but
terrific.
All is forgiven. She lives in San Diego, and when we played out there basketball, her and I got to hang out a little bit.
Oh, that's
and,
awesome.
And she didn't clonk me with a club, so obviously she's forgiven me.
Yeah, or she forgot about it.
Or that, one or the other.
That's terrific. But yeah, now I'm really looking forward to some future guests.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
I don't know how consistent it'll be. Again, it's just going to depend on the ebb and the flow of how sports is going to go. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about today. Obviously, over the weekend, we talk about ebb and flow. EKU football, well, they're ebbing and flowing right now.
And out of the blue. I hadn't heard anything about this.
No, not at
all.
I
just see a tweet from the Richmond Register. EKU has a press conference scheduled for this morning. This was on Friday.
Right.
They're going to announce an 8-game fall slate. And it's like, what?
EKU football is the only team that I have seen this year go from zero to hero in about 3 weeks, because I mean 3 weeks ago you had guys leaving the team because of some I guess implications / accusatory remarks about the care or lack thereof,
right,
regarding the COVID-19 situation. Now they have an 8-game schedule that is not affiliated with the OVC.
Yeah, and they're not playing OVC sports in the spring.
They are not.
And that does affect every OVC football team in the spring because it'll give them one less conference game.
Yeah. Did they, I need some clarification here from you in this regard, Neil. Did they say no OVC sports or just no OVC football?
That was only a football announcement. So if it's anything else, I don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
But the essentially, from the AD's perspective, he had 2 points in there, and I'm going to paraphrase. They don't feel good about football being played in the spring because generally – when I say spring, we're talking about probably beginning in February or something like that.
Absolutely.
Generally, viruses thrive in the cold and sort of die out in the summer. Well, this one didn't die out in the summer, so we can cross that one off the list.
Yeah.
But they still usually do thrive in the cold because so many people are indoors. So they had fear of that happening. And also, they need money for the program. And he said this 8-game slate, I believe he said it'll generate about $1 million, not for the program, but for their athletic programs, which all need the money.
Yeah, so I want to just talk about the slate super quick. Marshall, West Virginia, the Citadel, Central Arkansas, home and home. Matter of fact, that's their first home game. Troy, then the University of Central Arkansas again, Stephen F. Austin, and West Carolina. And they have saved their home games. Their first home game is October 10th until those final two games on November 7th and November 21st. Hmm. It's interesting because there's a twofold thing here. The three home games that they've chosen, your first one is October 10th, which is 3 weeks after Andy Beshear's requested, in-school discussion where he said, hey, if you're going to start in school, my recommendation, not his edict, not his mandate, his recommendation was September 28th. Well, I know that that was for high schools, but I mean, that also, I mean, that's probably a standing recommendation. If we're going to be in person anywhere, really, with a large group and a large cluster, then it needs to be after September 28th in the classroom. And so October 10th is your first home game. I haven't seen anything about what their fan base is going to be. Yeah. It'll clearly be limited. But Roy Kidd Stadium's a big stadium, so I don't think that that's going to be too much of a problem. Then your final two home games are, you know, the first week of November and that last week right before Thanksgiving, which is right when you think probably college basketball is going to start, we think.
We'll know mid-September, supposedly.
Yeah, we'll know in about 3 weeks, but I would have to guess, if I'm postulating, that some of our first basketball games will probably take place, hopefully.
Cool part about the virus, obviously, it can read a calendar. So
yeah.
I've never noticed viruses have that ability, but...
Well, I haven't either, and I'll tell you what's really even crazy about this.
I wouldn't think it would matter.
I mean,
you're playing or you're not.
If your second home game is November 7th, everybody keeps telling me the virus is going to be over on November 6th. That's what I
don't think that that's going to happen either. That's like, just as likely as the virus reading a calendar.
Exactly. Yeah. 24 hours. Well, yeah. 24 hours after Election Day, Neil, that it's just going to end. That it's going to be, and no one will be talking about it anymore.
I'm not convinced we'll know who the president is on Election Day or the day after. May take a while.
Yeah. I just, you know, I've been reading all about it. And I'll be honest with you, Neil. I'm just as excited as anybody else. If it's over on November 6th,
oh, I'm great.
I'd be great.
I would have no issue with it at all. If they say that's the end of it, that's great.
Yeah. All joking and sarcasm aside, yes. EKU football, it does impact the spring, you know, for the OVC.
Sure.
Because let's just bring up a couple of key points here, Neil. EKU was a... What would you call him, a finalist for joining the Sun Belt? Is that how that works? Was Murray State a finalist to join the Missouri Valley?
Between, I guess, them and Coastal Carolina.
Coastal Carolina.
The two finalists. And Dave jokes, the Coastal Carolina committee came. They loved it. EKU probably on the verge of getting in. They said, let's check out your stadium. Let's go. Where's the elevator? We don't have one.
Mm-hmm.
And they went, oh, we got to go. Turns out it's later than we thought. And on the way to the car, called Coastal Carolina. That's the
Roy Kidd Stadium is quite the slog.
Yeah. So other than that, though, it's once you get up there, what
it's
a beautiful
gorgeous.
View.
It's gorgeous.
You're there in the fall. You get the trees and the leaves. I mean, just fantastic. But my gosh, 7 flights of stairs and ramps. I call it every 2 years. If I get to the top and I haven't died, then I know my heart's good.
Yeah.
If I ever die, you'll know that it wasn't that good.
Yeah.
So it's over.
All Roy kidding aside.
That's
here.
Right. There you go. And I heard someone told me this from EKU, and since I didn't hear it from Roy, I won't tell it as the truth. But they told me that Roy Kidd, after he retired, they brought him up for an interview at the press box, and he went, expletive. I didn't know this didn't have an elevator up here.
Yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah.
It took me forever to get up here. Like,
you would think,
welcome to the club, Roy. It's named after you.
Yeah, you would think being named after him, they'd have the Roy Kidd elevator.
Yeah,
but
I
they,
know.
But they certainly don't. Yeah, EKU, there's a lot of speculation here that EKU is trying to make a power play.
And they may be.
And maybe they are. Maybe these games prove that they don't want to be in the OVC anymore. I think that's highly speculative, but there is no question that EKU's more recent history, if we take a look at the last 15 years, that FBS football is something that they have aspired to be a part of. FBS sports has been something they have aspired and pushed toward. Murray State has reportedly done the same thing with Missouri Valley. So, you know, were they going to go FBS football in that situation? It seems unlikely. As a matter of fact, I have been told by multiple sources that it seemed all but a lock that Murray State football wouldn't have even joined the Missouri Valley Conference, which is arguably one of the best conferences in college FCS
right.
football. I think they probably would have gone to the Big South.
That's what I had heard that. I don't know.
It didn't happen, so yeah. It doesn't matter. It's all beyond speculative. That was all on a marker board.
Right.
And as soon as Valpo was the only team, they were just like, well, let's just erase the marker board. Like, it's all wiped clean. And,
there you
and
go.
You've probably got the drafts somewhere. There's probably some internal memos like, oh, let's be pretty, you know. No, it didn't happen, so it doesn't matter. But that was the argument being made in that moment. Well, like, well, if we're not going to the Missouri Valley, you know, we'll go to the Big South. And so...
Gotcha.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
That was me. I have to check on. We have a new news thing at the top of the hour. I want to be sure it's working right.
No, I like that.
I'm going to do that again in 22 seconds, so don't freak out.
No, I like that, actually. Okay. You got to check the wire to see if it's still working.
There you go.
You know, so EKU football has made this decision, and here we are.
Right.
That's the I mean,
right.
I like that. That sounds good.
There you go. But that doesn't go on. No one's hearing this but me and you.
Oh, that's correct.
Yeah,
that's
so
terrific.
Just so you know.
Okay.
So they're going like, what are you talking about?
Gotcha. I like it. As far as what Murray State football is going to do, you know that they're going to play in the spring, at least hypothetically. You know, the SWAC has already announced how they're going to do it. Other conferences at the FCS level are going to start revealing how they're going to, you know, maintain their springs. You know, I know you have some fans. There's a select few fans that are wondering why Murray State football didn't pursue this. I thought Kevin made that fairly clear last Monday as to why they're not doing it. But, you know, I do know that over the last 10 to 15 days, and especially this past weekend when EKU dropped its bombshell, that you had some of the football fan base wonder, why is Murray State not pursuing 1, 2, 3, 5, 4, you know, non-conference games? They were never going to pull an EKU, you know, but you do wonder.
Well, they're the only one that's done that.
Right. You do wonder, you know, well, Austin Peay still playing its games, JSU still playing its games and seeking others. Again, I thought, my first reading of the OVC's discussion and release from its board of presidents is you couldn't seek out new games. But that seems to be less and less, you know, the modus operandi there.
Right.
I mean, if Austin Peay is, you know, if Austin Peay is still looking for its games, you know, and Jacksonville State's still looking for its games, I'm not seeing where that's not allowed, I guess. I mean, they're just going to do it.
And I saw that earlier, and then I saw later that they OVC recommended that. Well, recommended doesn't mean handed down an edict.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that later.
You know, if someone recommends one or two things, well, that's a completely different story. So that means, you know, well, we've all been to a nice restaurant. I recommend the calamari. I want a cheeseburger. Okay. Yeah, okay.
All right. Sounds great. We recommend
That's
it.
What a recommendation is. A demand is you're having this or you can get out of my restaurant.
I'll order the calamari.
Right. Okay.
And I've already paid for it and you're going to eat it.
That's right.
And we're going to make you eat it. So speaking of edicts, it's a great segue, Neil. Well done. It's almost like you've done this before. High school athletics in the state of Kentucky.
Yeah.
Big moves last Thursday.
And I wasn't surprised that it passed.
Right.
Where it was going to stay on track. As was, with really no changes, I was surprised it passed 16-2. I thought that would be a lot closer than that, very surprised. I did see a couple of comments that they've dumped it in the governor's lap or the Kentucky Department of Health's lap. I don't really think they did that. I think they voted from the heart. They really believe, based on all the work they've done in conjunction with the Kentucky Department of Health and others, that they believe they can handle this and pull it off. And also states around them, Ohio, Tennessee, they're playing.
Yeah.
They played Friday night, Tennessee did.
Yeah, absolutely. They, as a matter of fact, Gridiron Glory on WPSD was a full go with Tennessee games, you know. And I think for me, I've got a quote here from Andy Beshear. I think the one thing, you know, practices, you know, on Thursday, 16-2, that they decide to move forward with the original recommendations of a September 7th start and a September 11th, you know, football kickoff. The 7th will be volleyball, cross country, soccer, so on and so forth. Everybody has an amended schedule. Everybody has a smaller schedule based on the recommendations, not only from the state, but from the KHSAA. The meeting itself, well, first of all, at the height of the meeting, there were about 10,000 people tuned in. No, legitimately, like on YouTube.
I never did look at the number.
Yeah, it was well over 10,000. It was like 10,600 or something like that at the height of the meeting where they were trying to, you know, vote and decide. And, you know, there were two or three other options on the table for an amended schedule, move to the, you know, punt to the 28th and take on that recommendation that Andy Beshear, you know, released, Governor, a few weeks ago, talking about, you know, in-class, procedure. If you're going to have students in the classroom, I recommend that it be the end of September before you do that and do NTI prior to that. So I think the only thing is over the last 72 hours, really, Neil, since the Thursday recommendation, of course, as a reporter, you know, multiple reporters across the state had to say, hey, listen, yeah, the KHSAA's recommended this, but your Department of Ed, your Department of Health, Andy Beshear's office can say, you know, they can look at the KHSAA's plan and say, no.
The governor doesn't have to sign off on it.
Right.
But the others do, right?
Absolutely.
But the governor, he can stop it, but he doesn't have to put his signature on it, thumbs up. He doesn't have to. The others do, though.
Right.
They can go, no, we're not approving this.
Yeah, and so
they need to do it today,
well,
if they're going to do it.
Well, that's the thing. So there's currently call it a protest, but we'll see more about it, you know, this afternoon. But there currently is a public discussion happening in Frankfurt. It's been announced over the last couple of days, actually, that they're going to, you know, coaches and players and families were going to rally in Frankfurt, say, we want to play. I think the one thing that I'm really confused about, Neil, and I know that some others have shared this confusion with me as well, is that while they don't want Andy Beshear to come down and say something about we're going to delay sports, he hasn't said anything yet.
No.
And a lot, and this is, I want to go
There's
back
nothing
to this.
Protest. So are they just protesting? Is it a demonstration or a protest? Are they demonstrating their support of?
Is it a preemptive demonstration?
Maybe it's more of a demonstration because there's nothing to protest right now. You're playing until somebody says you're not playing.
Yes. And so I wanted to bring up the exact statement, and I'm not going to read it because it was a 3-minute statement on, you know, of course, on Thursday afternoon after the KHSAA had made its public decision, we're moving forward with the original schedule. Your two dissenters were of the Louisville area, by the way, which makes sense. JCPS continues to be a hot discussion
they're
right now.
They're meeting today on
that. They are meeting today. Stuff, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Beshear's statement, and I'm going to do a cross-section of this, basically said, you know, a lot of people took that, oh, he was surprised by the KHSAA's decision. Surprise had a lot more words wrapped around it. And that's the one thing that's kind of frustrated me in this discussion. He said, I'm going to take some time to think about it and to think it through. I'll certainly be thinking about safety first and foremost. I believe a student athlete is a student first and an athlete second. And just about all of our student athletes out there are ultimately going to be making their livings with their mind. And then the second thing I'm going to think through is the chances of success. And from us, I don't know what's going to come out of it. If it's a strong recommendation, if it's going to be advice, or if it's going to be something more than that. But I'm certainly surprised with the virus at its height that it's just move ahead. Now, prior to that statement, he specifically categorized high contact versus low contact. Matter of fact, I don't even want to say he was resigned to it, but he just said golf, tennis. He mentioned lacrosse as low contact, which is kind of funny. Like, lacrosse is technically supposed to be low contact, but it's, you know, field hockey is not low contact. Like, that's how kids are, you know, colliding all the time. But it is one of the lower contact sports in the paradigm of Kentucky athletics.
Contact is prohibited, but it happens.
Yeah, of course. That's the penalty, is the contact. So it's... Which was kind of a moot point anyways, because most of your field hockey teams are near the JCPS area, Jefferson County, and that's where that continues to be a hotbed discussion. Again, your two, you know, just dissenting votes were from the Louisville area, where this continues to be crisis, maybe is a too big of a word, but a problem. It's an issue, you know, they're discussing right now what public-private's going to do. That being said, at no point during the discussion on Thursday... on Friday or during the weekend, did Andy Beshear come out and say, I'm going to bring the ban hammer on and you guys aren't playing sports until September 28th or later? I understand that maybe there is this fomenting belief inside of people that he's going to change it, and so they just want to prevent it by just lashing out now. But I guess I'm just really confused by people have taken this rhetoric that he has, and look, don't get me wrong, I understand if we're going to make it political, which we shouldn't, but we have, you know, history tells us, recent history tells us that he's been, you know, this has been a cautionary tale. So he has delayed and delayed and delayed. So I guess everybody's just like, oh my gosh, you're going to delay, you know, when we've already made this plan to delay, and that should be enough. So I guess, again, in that regard, I guess it... You know, maybe that's why these counter protests are happening. But again, and you've already made the point, what are you counter protesting when he hasn't come out and said anything really other than his original statement on Thursday?
Here's what makes it political, though. Right now it isn't, but if he brings the hammer down, then he needs to say this: we will play sports when the positivity rate drops below X or the case number per day drops above 4X over a week-long period.
Right.
That way you got the benchmarks and you can look for yourself. We're playing. Instead of, I just arbitrarily declare that there will be no sports.
Right.
His doctor, Dr. Stack, yesterday talked about how the masks, they're working. The social distancing, not that the social gatherings of 10 or less are working, and other things that they did from July, when the statistics point out that the day after the July 9th mask mandate, you had a lower percentage rate than you've had every time since. Most all of the 500 or more cases have been since the mask mandate. So the statistics don't back anything up other than it certainly has stabilized. I think they call it whatever the...
It's a plateau.
Yeah, plateau. They call it. It has plateaued. Agree with that. And then over the last week, we have seen that the positivity rate drop in a week. So those are all good signs, but we need to know what we're up against. What's the scoreboard? When can we play? And if he does bring the hammer down, okay, tell us when we can play. Not just an arbitrary, feels good.
Like
let's play.
Like don't float it.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah, give us something we can shoot for. Get the cases below this, positivity rate below this. We're playing.
Give us a goal.
Yeah. And I just don't like that's what makes it political, because then right. It sounds political instead of we have to meet these numbers or you don't play.
Right. Yeah, that's
what makes it political if you don't do that.
Like a floating deadline.
There you go.
That just kind of looms over you.
And then you can see.
And you never meet
positivity
it.
Rate's 9%. We're not playing.
Yeah.
He told us, and we didn't do a good enough job. We're not playing. Instead, we see it dropping. And that's all good news, but... We'll see. Hopefully nothing will happen.
Right. Where's the finish line?
Exactly.
Is the real question.
Exactly.
I mean, when you're a cross-country athlete or a football player headed to the end zone, where's the end zone? No one knows.
That's right. And that's frustrating.
It's very frustrating.
You know, you think, I just had the game-winning catch. Like, the game's not over. We're adding extra time. I mean, what sport would – oh, yeah. Well, some sports do that. I'm not going to get into that one. But I don't like extra time being it. I like
right.
to know what the score is and who the winner is. And how I have to win. And I think if he decides to hammer, and I get it, as the governor, he has the safety. I understand that. But give us the goals. Tell us when we can play sports if these things are achieved.
Absolutely. Speaking of sports, the golf season continues to roar
Yeah.
At a really strong pace. As a matter of fact, there's a golf tournament today at Paxton Park. Looks like I'll probably be making a stop there on Tuesday afternoon.
How do you cover that? When you go cover it, what do you have to do?
That's a great question, Neil. It's really, honestly, especially at the high school level, because everybody can play well at a different time.
Right.
You just kind of bounce around and ask people how they're doing. And I know that sounds so silly, but I don't have 45 monitors.
Right. I meant from a COVID standpoint, too.
Oh,
do you have to do anything special?
So I wear a mask when I interview anybody.
Sure.
Right now. Gotcha. I have since March, pretty much 7th.
Okay.
And golf tends to be that, and baseball that played in Paducah during the summer. You know, I just do it from a comfort perspective. I mean, players don't particularly know where I've been. I don't know where they've been. I'm not a nervous Nancy, but I just want to do the right thing.
Do they have to pass temperature checks to play?
So, golf, they still have the temperature checks and whatnot, and they still have to make sure that the symptoms are down,
uh-huh.
But they don't, it's not like football where you're having to do it like before every, you know, like before like every practice and things like
understand.
That. Like, you've got to, especially at a golf tournament, they're typically just socially distanced altogether.
Yeah, understood.
As a matter of fact, one of the key rules that has changed this year is all ties go down as finished. So if you tie for championships, which happened actually this past weekend between individuals, last Friday, that's how this works. Like, you don't have a playoff anymore, because playoff golf holes particularly have galleries that gather. That makes sense. You're not there all day. Your parents roll in. Oh,
right.
The tournament's not over. We've got a tiebreaker. Okay, well, we're going to go to a playoff hole. Well, then all of a sudden, you've got 15 parents gathered around the final green.
Understood.
You've got five or six golf carts that are all together in a nice caravan. And you still had some caravanning this past weekend, but it wasn't nearly as you know, there wasn't a lot of gravity around
right.
it when there's a finale.
Whereas if someone shoots the medalist score of a 77 at 10 a.m., and then the other dude shoots it at 4 p.m. or 2 p.m., well, you just have a tie instead of,
yep.
Oh, head-to-head, here we go.
You're
yeah.
Co-winners,
yeah,
so to speak.
Yeah, okay.
And so that's been a rule from the KHSAA for this season.
One of the many.
You know, you keep your own scorecard, and you still keep other scores, but, like, nobody else touches your scorecard. Like, it's not – you're not really doing as much swapping.
Gotcha. Okay.
You know, naturally. But as far as actually covering it on a golf course, that's always been a challenge for me, because it's always interesting to just bounce around different golf holes. I might get to watch a golfer play at the high school level, especially – 3 or 4 holes before I'm like, okay, I need to go see how somebody else is doing for 3 or 4 holes. And
but
so,
you know who to look for, generally.
Sure.
I mean, someone who's shooting 125 isn't suddenly going to shoot a 70.
Yeah, and they
kind of know who you're going to do.
They also suddenly aren't going to want to talk to me.
Right,
you
understand.
Know?
I got you.
You know, I've been waved off before.
Right.
You know, I'm like, pull up, how's your day? Well, all right, I got to go. See ya. Like, you don't go any further. Golf etiquette.
Yes.
You know, if you're not playing, it's the one sport you just don't, you want to play the least amount. And
yes.
I love talking about that, but it's so true. Golf is the one sport that you just don't want to play for very long. You know, if you're out there for half an hour, you probably did pretty well. If you're out there for 4 hours, that's not...
So high volume shooter, bad in golf.
Yeah.
Could be good in basketball if you're accurate.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Not in golf. So All A took place at Drake Creek in Ledbetter. Love the course. Beautiful course. It's got 2 or 3 features on the course, 2 or 3 holes that are just some of the prettiest in the region. But your Murray girls were the only team. But you had several individuals that were terrific. Two seniors, Claire Whitaker and Mary Browder-Howell, were co-medalists, actually, as they both shot a 77, the number you spoke. And then Ellie Roof from St. Mary and Autumn Downey from Ballard Memorial. She is the first ever Ballard Memorial girls golfer to make it to the state tournament.
How about that?
Yeah, so big time. Has
St. Mary ever had a team without a roof on it?
No.
A year where there's been an athletic team.
I don't think so.
With no roof. Okay.
No, I don't think so.
I just wondered.
I think there's roofs everywhere. So, and Ellie is certainly terrific and just a sophomore at that. So, you know, she's going to be a little bit, you know, she's going to be around for quite a while. Then on the boys' side, you had Jack Epperson and Grant Whitaker from the Murray Tigers both make it as individualists to the state tournament, which will be in Richmond in 2 weeks. Speaking of old EKU, it's going to be a fun place there in 2 weeks for state golf. And then your St. Mary boys with Rocco Zakutny, whose brother, actually Matthew, played at Murray State and is now a professional golfer, and Peyton Purvis, and Luke Wilson all led the way, 73-73-74, as St. Mary shot a 298. And Neil, just to give you a heads up on that, anytime you shoot below a 300, no matter where you're at as a team,
yeah,
you're doing pretty well.
That's very good. Very impressive for them.
Yeah. So we've got about 3.5 to 4 weeks left of the regular season before we get into what I would consider, you know, your strong, you know, regional tournament play. And then a state tournament, which is currently still taking place in Bowling Green. And as a matter of fact, I think they re-upped for 3 years. So okay. Bowling Green's kind of got a lock on what state golf is to, you know, to the high school realm. So, you know, it's always an important place to get to. And St. Mary's got those aspirations. So a lot of fun at Drake Creek on Friday. And, you know, golf is the one sport, you know, again, talking with Jay Nemo, it's the one sport that's really – you had that 2.5 to 3 month break where you didn't know what was going to happen between March and June 1st. Sure. And then golf was, you know, kind of rolling, off and rolling throughout the summer.
And that was a lot of us kind of learning how to cope with the virus. And once we learned, well, we can do this safely, here's how to do it, play golf.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And it's been the one sport that's kind of gotten back on track. Speaking of back on track, looks like your Cardinals are back on track.
Well, they are doing well. They have this guy, he's been around a while, the Molina kid. It turns out now that he's back, they're rolling pretty well. Had 4 hits yesterday. I noticed, though, he's hitting .314. He's slugging .314. His on-base percentage is .314. He hasn't walked or had an extra base hit yet. But he's still doing yachty stuff for the most part.
Look, if you're hitting .314 with an on-base of .314 and a slugging of .314, you're hitting a lot of singles.
That's it.
And there's
that's
nothing, and there's been. Nothing wrong
no,
with
there
that.
No, there isn't. There isn't.
I mean, look, how old is he, 90?
No, come on, Ed.
How old is he, 36?
36, I think.
Yeah.
I think so.
I mean, you know, I'm going to actually ask
and
this.
And for a catcher, that's old.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's really old.
Especially since that's the only position he's played. He's never switched to DH. He's
been at first before, but that wasn't his position. He's just played a few games at first.
Right. Is Yachty a Hall of Famer?
Oh, yeah. Just by, first of all, his hitting, but also his ability to gun down runners. And
from a defensive standpoint, he's a Hall of Famer.
Doesn't gun down as many for two reasons. They don't run as much. And they also don't run on him much.
Right.
So you got two factors there.
It's something that I've talked about with Cardinals fans before. And again, no love of the St. Louis Cardinals coming from me here.
Oh, sure.
You know, this season, the Reds have just been, we can't close games. If our starting pitching doesn't go 8 innings, we lose.
Yeah. It's Neil. Been rough. I've seen a few Reds games
and
this
year. I'm not trying to attack. I have two, and I'm not trying to attack Rossiel Iglesias, but I mean, he's really struggling. You know, and I think it stems from last year. You know, he took 10 losses last year as a closer. And still
I know. He's on my strat team, and I got rid of it.
Yeah, still had, 30 saves last year?
Yeah, he did.
But just, it's been that Kenley Jansen situation where you're just not sure, is he going to give up 2 homers and lose the game, or is he going to go 3 Ks and win it? And it's just that Jekyll and Hyde situation, really, for most of the Reds' bullpen. I'm not even going to pin it on Iglesias because he didn't pitch and he hadn't pitched since like August 4th when he stepped into to the mound on the first game of this series, and it should have been a split. I would have been fine with a split, and it just wasn't. And we lost 3, and we shouldn't have.
There was also an incident Thursday, Friday, where a Mets staffer and a player tested positive for COVID, so that Yankees-Mets series was wiped out.
Right.
But all in all, considering all the tests and all the games, MLB, other than that, first week with the Marlins and then the Cardinals having all the cases, it hasn't been that bad. They've done pretty well.
It looks like it's really kind of, you know, balanced out a little bit and has gone in the right direction. I wanted to go back. We kind of got sidetracked about my misery of the Reds.
Yeah.
There just seems to be some sort of a discussion about, you know, whether Yachty is a Hall of Famer, even among Cardinals fans. Do you think somebody like Adam Wainwright is a Hall of Famer?
That I don't know. I haven't really looked at his numbers and crunched them. I'm not 100% sure on him. He's been really good for a while, but he hasn't been great recently. And I don't know if that's his few good years, or in some of them really great years, would be enough to put him in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and I know that sometimes the Baseball Hall of Fame can be, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
But he's won 200-plus games. You know, he's won some critical games in his career.
Yeah.
He's been the go-to guy, even this year, you know, Uncle Charlie's been pretty solid. Which I know, what's he throwing this year? Okay, so this year he's 2-0 in three games with a 2 ERA. I mean, it's hard to take a extrapolation of that because he's probably only going to get
small sample size.
What is he going to get? 6 more games this year?
Maybe. Yeah.
I mean, in a 60 game series, and with as many double headers as they're going to get toward the end of the season to make up those games, you're not going to throw out a Wainwright in the middle of a double header.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't. I mean, I'm not Schilt, but I wouldn't do that. You know, you're going to go to some of your younger arms and some of your.
I don't know if it's his day to pitch. You might get a, because he's a guy that can always usually give you 5 or 6 innings. Yeah, you pitch him in the first game, that gives you a little bit more manageable bullpen that day.
Yeah,
it might not be a bad day to pitch him actually.
And I say he was at 200 wins. He can get to 200 wins. That's my apology. He's actually, first of all, he has 12 shutouts. He is a 164.95 with a career 3.38 ERA with nearly 1,800 strikeouts. So one or two more good years, and he'll be above the 2,000 strikeout, 200 win mark. Is that enough for the Hall of Fame? I don't know.
I don't know.
He's certainly going to be in the Cardinals Hall of Fame. There's no question about
that.
Oh,
yeah, that's no question.
But is he going to make Major League Baseball Hall of Fame? I guess that's a little more debatable.
Yadi, I would put in there just because of what you want out of a catcher. I think he brings that. Clutch hitting. He's been a dynamite clutch hitter over his career. Fantastic defensive skills. I think that's what gets him in. His offense has been good for most of his career. When he started out, he wasn't really good offensively. And he was so good defensively, they thought, dude, he doesn't have to be. He can get 225 and we'll take it. Well, turns out he's a really good hitter as a catcher as well.
Is he career 280?
Probably somewhere around there. But his is just... He just always is a clutch guy.
Yeah, no, he has been. There's no doubt about it. He's broken my heart more than once. So, and lifted the hearts of St. Louis fans. Quick few quick hitters here from the rest of the sports world. Obviously, the Slam Diego Padres.
Yeah.
What on earth?
I know.
They've won 7 in a row. They swept they swept the Astros. There's something brewing in Slam Diego. And I keep saying Slam Diego because they have, what, 5 grand slams in 7 games?
I think so.
Unbelievable.
And that's tough. First of all, it's all tough
different,
to be in
all
that
different
position.
Guys.
Yeah, that's what makes it weird. Yeah, it really does. Because if it's one guy, then to me it's on the other team to let one guy just continually hit grand slams. Like,
yeah.
At least I'll hit him with a pitch or something and let the next guy try to hit one. But
unreal.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
But they're doing great. And the thing that a 60-game season does, because those of us who are baseball fans over 162 games, we've seen some of these, oh my gosh, how are they doing this? And then over games 61 through 162, it's,
yeah.
Oh, they weren't that good. But
they
if
were
you're
hot.
Good for 60, you might be the team.
And you might be hot. Yeah,
yeah,
and you might stay hot. Couple other notes here. Nick Nurse, it's not local news, but Nick Nurse was named Coach of the Year by the NBA, which only warns me that the other awards from the NBA will probably be revealed, I would think. I thought, as a matter of fact, last night it was possible. They didn't really release a timetable.
I've noticed. I looked everywhere. I can't find one.
Yeah, there isn't one. They just said, we're just going to reveal them on TNT. And you know what? That makes for great entertainment, quite frankly. If you're going to sit here and say, here's our Coach of the Year and here's our Player of the Year.
And if you don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I got to watch every night now, I guess.
Well, a lot of anticipation. Yeah. So I would have to think, that potentially your Rookie of the Year will be announced relatively soon. That's all I can say. I don't know.
That will have a local impact, one way or the other.
Yeah, that will have. Yeah, that's one.
Doesn't really matter what they announce.
Yeah,
it will impact us locally.
Yeah, that's right. And that's what you know. Of course, when I heard that Nick Nurse, first of all, congratulations to him. The Toronto Raptors have been terrific. First team since like 1971. They had 100 bench points last night.
Jeez,
100. Wow. 100 bench points. They beat Brooklyn like 150-122. Or 130. Yeah, it's insane.
Playing the bench.
Yeah, played the bench. Yeah, they scored 66% of their points came from the bench.
Completed the sweep.
Yeah.
Brooklyn.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like anyone thought that might not happen.
They completed the sweep, and then the Boston Celtics completed their sweep over the process winning Philadelphia 76ers, which, you know, they've got a lot to work on anyways, but we have digressed. Absolutely, the Rookie of the Year announcement, whenever it comes, will and it may be this week, maybe next, as we get closer to the finals. I'm not sure, but certainly will have an impact from a local standpoint, whether they choose John Morant or not. Can't see how they couldn't, but, you know, crazier things have happened.
To me, the best thing to come out of the NBA in terms of sports fans nationally is that if you play basketball in a bubble, it can work.
Yes.
It's worked for them. We haven't had guys right and left. Oh, they have COVID. This team can't play. That team can't play. They've done a great job there.
They've attacked it. And look at what they've had to sacrifice, though. I think that's the other side of the caveat there is they've sacrificed time with their families. You know, a guy like Ja has only just now returned to his family.
Yeah.
And he was gone for a month.
See, my wife is like, boy, that'd be great. To be gone for a month, be awesome.
Yeah.
As long as the money still comes in.
Yeah, exactly.
You're $50 a week. That'd be good enough. And so I don't know how many times by the time the summer gets here, we love spending time together. But when are you going to be going away for
a month?
Yeah.
2 months at a time.
That bubble thing, I think she might really, really like it other than Tuesday when she has to take out the trash herself.
Yeah. And I think it's funny you mentioned that, Neil. I think the discussion for a college bubble is starting to really ramp up a little bit.
I think it has some merit. I really do.
I do too. And I think especially if you can do regional bubbles, or even campus bubbles where you all agree to certain areas of safety. You want to play a season with limited fans, and you want to do it the right way. Let's play three or four games over a week
or
a weekend and get it done. And
I mean, I don't like it over having a normal season.
No, I don't either.
But, I mean, given what you could have, which is travel, play Wednesday night, or travel Wednesday night, play Thursday, travel, there's a lot of instances where you could get the virus.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're bubbled, Hotel facility.
Yep.
Play the game. And that's it. Those are the only two places you go. And they tell you, you can't go anywhere else. Those are the conditions. If you're not comfortable
And we're bringing you your food.
Then you can stay home. That's what I mean, yeah. Our food at our hotel, most all the time's catered anyway.
Right.
Eric Frederick takes care of all that. So we bring in catered food. I know people are thinking, oh, Steve, no, it's...
Chick-fil-A.
There's all sorts of places that cater or bring food to the hotel. So
yeah, it's a lot of fast food. Yeah, Texas, your local steakhouses.
And a lot of times on campuses, they have food services.
Right.
They'll give you a good deal per meal, and the food's delicious. So we do that at several places, and maybe some other schools use it. So that's what makes it really doable for announcers. I'm sure that would be kind of the same thing if they did it. They'd just send us there, and we'd be stuck there for the entire week.
Well, and I think the same thing would happen with any sort of media that's allowed.
Yes,
if
exactly.
The media, then they would tell me.
Temperature check to get in the building. That's for everybody. No exceptions whatsoever.
Right.
And you could get in for us to be down on the floor. I know from what I've been told, we'll have to pass COVID tests for sure. And then temperature check, of course, to get in the building.
Yeah, and I actually fully anticipate any sort of coverage that I'm going to have to give this year is going to require those types of hoops to be jumped. If it happens, and again, this is all hypothetical.
Exactly.
But, I mean, if we're going to start any sort of basketball, I fully expect to be swabbed more than once, and I fully expect to have to pass certain temperature checks and thresholds.
Yeah.
That's just what my job is going to require this
Same
year.
Here.
I've already been told, going back quickly to a high school discussion, that if I'm going to go to some football practices this year before the season starts, I have to mask up and take a temperature check.
Yeah.
Totally fine with that.
Yep.
I absolutely am ready to do what is required. Is it a mental stress? Is it a physical stress? Sure, absolutely. But I'm going to want to do the right thing in order to see sports happen.
Well, so. The rules are set. You don't have to go cover them. So,
nope.
I mean,
it's true.
There's not you don't have to do those things. But in order to go cover them, you have to do those things, and they should be able to set their own rules on that. I have no problem with that. I'm 100% in line with whatever they want to do.
Neil, we're going to learn a lot this week.
Oh, yes.
Appreciate talking to you, man.
All right. Appreciate it, and we'll see you next week.
Sounds good.